Hello, listener. Thank you for tuning in to the Oakless Ed podcast. And let me take a minute to say thank you. Thank you very much for your listening. Thank you very much for your feedback all through what Aaron and I have been working on. We're so appreciative that you take time out of your day to tune us in. And we're appreciative when you leave feedback for us. And recently we put out on Twitter a poll asking about the length of Oakless Ed, the Oakless Ed podcast. And it came back that we needed to shorten that sucker down. So what we're going to do is we're going to start releasing interviews as a separate standalone podcast episode and then follow that up with the discussion of the Twitter chat. So start looking for Oakless Ed twice a week now, starting with this one, with Aaron interviewing Dr. Jason James.
Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Hey, Jason, it's Aaron Barnes. How's it going?
Outstanding. Yourself?
I am doing pretty well. So I have been trying to get a hold of Dean Garn this week. I did not participate in Sunday's chat, and I just went under the assumption that he was still the moderator of the chat. So
I took over for him this week.
That's awesome. I realized it today whenever I went in to update my notes, and thank you for taking this interview on very short notice.
No worries.
All right. Well, you're Jason James, but why don't you tell the world what it is you do in education?
I am the superintendent of schools in Ellic, Oklahoma, and Grady County. And we're just a small school that's trying to be on the forefront of providing the best education we can for our students.
That's awesome. So what was your intention for this chat? This chat got me hot. It got me a little bit heated up. So I'm excited to discuss a little bit of it with you. But what was your intention behind the chat?
Well, my intention was just to throw out some topics that's been right, wrong, or indifferent, been center of attention in education reform since in the last 10 or so years that I've been a superintendent, and just to see different perspectives on what's going on, like the consolidation of the question about the consolidation and do we have too many districts, and it was amazing to see the different answers and then the side comments that came from that,
because you guys are an independent district, right?
We are. No, we're a K-12. We're an independent. Okay. Yes, and we're independent, and but we're surrounded by K-8s right here, located between Chickasha and Blanchard. We're right smack in the middle, little kind of rural school out here on Highway 19. So we, consolidation is a big concern of ours, just because we don't want. Our opinion is that we don't think there ought to be a number attached to a consolidation. It ought to be a quality, not a number. So
yeah,
that's our standpoint.
All right. Did you have a favorite question or one that you thought, for whatever reason, was the best question of the night?
Oh, I don't know if I had a favorite. Talked about teacher pay raises quite a bit. We talked about consolidation. We talked about consolidation of services and whether or not we had school choice. And I just know that they're all those hot topics that I find fascinating, because it really is the division lines are pretty blatant where they're at. And if you're a small rural school, you need to fight consolidation hard, and if you're a metro school, you really fight against education savings accounts, and the fact of the matter was, what I really wanted to show to the world, especially those that follow Oakland Ed, is it doesn't matter where you are, what you teach, whether that's in a self-contained, a multi-graded classroom in a small rural school, or if you're an online teacher at a virtual charter school. There are issues out there that are trying to drive a wedge between teachers and educators, and between educators and administrators, and between administrators and community members, and between Republicans and Democrats, or rural versus urban, or east versus west. There's always wedge issues. And my point is, through all that, is I really personally believe that neither party wants to solve these issues. They just want to able to frame them in a way that helps them win elections. And it's really, it's not just education. If you talk to Department of Corrections people, or if you talk to transportation people, or health service workers, they're all in the same shape that educators are in. There's issues that are make people choose us versus them, and when you're in that type of atmosphere, it's really hard to stick together and accomplish something positive.
No, I totally agree with you. I was in a conversation with somebody earlier today. Angela Little, who is a great parent advocate out there. And she was saying that it just is so frustrating when we start worrying more about our profession than what we're actually serving, and that's the students. And I totally agree with her there. So, I mean, I think you were on the right track. I couldn't tell though if you were like trying to be that wedge or if you were just trying to point out the discrepancies. So, I liked your answer right there. Just so you know.
Especially, Aaron, we do those ed camps, you know, and
oh, yeah.
The first one we did was at UConn, Ed Camp OKC, it was at UConn, and we went to U.S. Grant. We bounced those things around. We used to do a session, I used to do it with Don Dinger Pierce that was Rocks versus Sucks.
Yes.
And basically, that's what kind of chat I ran, was to throw out something that could be argued from both points. We don't always agree with the counter argument, but it's interesting to find out if you sit back and watch the sum of the answers. It was really interesting for me because it happened so fast that you really can't tell. But from where I'm at, it became really obvious that there's certain issues out there that we do stick together on, and like the teacher pay raise issue. I don't know of a single answer that came back as no, teachers get paid enough, or no, you only work 9 months out of the year, you only work 9 to 3. You know, those are old, I guess, ancient arguments that are not made anymore.
Right.
And we've all come to agree that people who choose to become teachers, they do so because of a calling, and they have the right heart, and they have the right passion to deal with children and young adults and to teach them things. But that doesn't mean they took a vow of poverty.
Exactly.
You know, it's really hard to be an effective T if you get off work at 4 from your school and you drive to Walmart and you run a checkout register until 11.
Uh-huh.
People expect you to go home and grade papers and provide that instantaneous feedback that we know works so well, just so you can pay rent. I mean, it's those type arguments don't exist. The problem is we are so far behind regional pay and national pay averages that we can't start because we can't afford to make it up. You know, we need a long-term plan and a long-term solution for these problems. We all agree it's a problem. It's just the solution that gets in our way. That's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I'd like to see a statistic out there on yeah, you're not pro charter, but what is it that you can agree on with charter? No, you're not pro consolidation, or you are pro consolidation, but what are the benefits of keeping these separate? You know what I'm saying? I think I know that I had asked Claudia, I believe Rob and Rick, if they'd be interested in forming some sort of a coalition, and this was a year ago and I haven't done anything on it, so it's my bad, but what do we all agree on, and can we fight from that stance versus with, like you said, with all of these wedges that the legislators want to keep bringing up that keep separating us? Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know what? One of the things that we do agree on, we all agree on, and I think it hurts us a little bit. You know, Aaron, I think everybody agrees on school choice, right? I mean, I do believe this. I think everybody agrees that a parent ought to have the right to send their kid to any school that that parent thinks is the best for their kids. I mean, we're Americans. I mean,
right.
Freedom is a fundamental right for us.
Right.
You know, and we agree that ought to happen. Well, there's two problems that come from that agreement. One, if you get into a big district, multi-site districts, well, it's not economically feasible for Edmond to say everybody in our borders gets to pick which elementary school they send their kid.
Right.
If that's the case, 90% of the kids might show up at school A and not show up at school B through D.
Right.
You know, and so now you have to have rules in place to determine to help that. Well, I think everybody agrees that, and at least I do, I think everybody agrees that if you want to get your kid out of a public school and send them to a private school, if you want to send your children to Heritage Hall or Bishop McGinnis or any of the number of religious schools in the state of Oklahoma, that's great. Well, but do you get to take your tax dollars
with you? Right.
Does the taxpayer dollar chase the child? Well, that's an interesting argument, but what about all the pacifists out in the world? They don't believe in the military. Do they get to opt out of buying warplanes and tanks because they're a pacifist? That's not the way our tax system works, because we don't, you know, some people says, well, I'll never use a prison, so why do I have my tax dollars? How come my tax dollars go to a prison? Well, there's a greater good for locking up criminals. So there's a greater good for educating your children or all the children your kids interact with. So if I send my kid to a private school, I have that right, you know, but that right also comes with a cost.
A price tag, exactly.
I mean, I have the right to the preamble of our Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of justice. You know, so that's great. But if you want to live in a townhouse downtown, it has a higher cost than if you lived in a tent out here on down by the river. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's just things that the government's going to provide for, and then there's things above that you have to pay for, and so I think we do have those things that we all agree on. We all agree in freedoms. We all agree in school choice. We all agree that the better educated our society is as a whole, the better our lives are as a whole. So now it's just about basically agreeing on the ground rules. And that's where we run amok, because in my opinion, politically, the political system now, the two-party system, it promotes the extremes from either party. You can't be a centrist and be someone who compromises and survive. You get attacked in a primary, and these groups that raise funds they pick you off because you're not on one extreme or the other.
Correct. I can't disagree with you there. So shifting gears just a little bit, what are your passions in education right now?
Real passion to make sure kids at ELLIC are prepared for the world, prepared for their life after high school. And I believe that you can't be prepared for life after high school by filling out worksheets and bubbling in Scantron standardized test answer booklets.
I love it. So what kind of stuff are you doing?
Go ahead.
No, so what kind of stuff are you doing?
Oh, we're working really, really hard to, we're kind of jumping in both feet with this, the ICAP, the Individual Career Academic Plan, and we're really jumping in on and zeroing in on student interests at as early of an age as possible. We're just beginning the process, so I'm going to talk about where we want to be and not where we are.
Sure.
We want to be able to start teaching a foreign language to our kids as early as pre-K.
Yes.
We want to start teaching our kids as early as first grade about technology and how to code and to do critical thinking. We want to teach our kids as early as first grade how to play musical instruments, because I'm a firm believer in those kids that can read sheet music, and it helps them think critically, because they not only have to know and do what they're doing now, but they have to be reading what to do next and knowing what's coming along. I think that generates neurological pathways that have applications in so many different things: problem solving, analysis, synthesis. And so we want to not focus on the fourth grade test and the fifth grade test and the eighth grade test, because we don't care so much about making fifth graders good fifth graders. We care about making fifth graders great post-secondary adults. And so we're going to start creating plans that says, okay, these are pathway career cluster, these are career goals. Let's start working you toward them and not really worry so much about whether or not you are below basic or above basic on a test that we give one time once a year. And so we're going to teach the standards, and we're going to teach all the things that our curriculum and standards say that fifth graders ought to know. We're just not going to test prep them. We're not going to drill and kill them, and we're not going to force kids to score not as well as the teacher likes on an assessment, and we're not going to force them to come to after school tutoring where we set them down and reteach them things over and over and over again. We want to do after school specials where they learn community service and they learn character education, and we want kids to be in that mold and not a standardized test taker.
I love that answer. Last question, Jason James. Who are your edu heroes right now?
Oh, edu heroes. My mother is my first teacher ever. And she was also a 30-year career teacher's aide, language arts teacher at Surreal Public Schools. So my mother, who retired a couple years ago, is still my edu hero. I still I still get tickled every time Rick Cobb does anything, because his sense of humor just is amazing. And for those of you who know Dr. Cobb, I'm still in the mold of guys like Dr. Keith Ballard, who I was a rookie principal and assistant superintendent, and got to spend some time with him. Dr. Ralph Sharp, I don't know if he's paying attention, but he taught school law at East Central, who really had a profound influence on me. Sean Heim, Kevin Heim, Tyler Bridges, those guys are just, you know, we share information, and we they're in my peer group, so when we have issues or questions or concerns, I turn to those people and say, hey, what are you doing? What do you think? Can you help me? And which I think is necessary in education in Oklahoma, because I think the pressure and the politics and the rhetoric are so intense. One, you better have a sense of humor, and two, you better have friends that'll pick you up when you're sometimes tired and you don't want to get up yourself.
I totally agree. Jason, thank you so much for this interview. I really appreciate your time.
Not a problem. Thank you. Call me anytime.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.